here we are in the fishbowl. I don't know what I'm doing here, but this is the Digging Deep podcast.
For
some possibly app yeah, from a preacher machine this morning.
I got four students in a room with me, and then like 20 behind me. All looking at me. Everyone say hi.
Hey.
And I have agreed to do an interview. Who are my interviewers?
Jimmy.
Chantel.
Iseline.
Kyle.
Marie.
You don't have to. The mic can hear you just fine. All right, what are you guys interviewing me about today? Or are we just killing time?
No, we want to get to know Dr. Gill and hear his story a little bit and why he does what he does. And so we've come together to ask him a few questions.
Oh, my God.
We want to know who you really are.
Yeah.
Do you know about my Jason Bourne story?
No.
No, we don't.
Oh, never mind. I'm a CIA machine.
Ooh.
I'm a billion-dollar man.
Look who we're sitting with.
All right, well, we'll start with this. We want to know your family background, geography, religious, and historical.
Information?
Yeah, just like, where are you from? What's your family about? Yeah.
Well, I grew up in Boston, Cambridge, and then the suburbs of that area. I was born in Chandigarh, India.
You?
We're not going there, Abhi. I was just born there. my parents are Indian. I was raised a Sikh, and I do research on the Sikh tradition.
That's awesome. So how did that continue? What was your first experience with religion or spirituality that you can remember?
Oh, that I can remember?
And yeah.
I was probably... I mean, my grandparents were pretty religious, and getting my name out, figuring out what my name was going to be, when I was born was probably a religious thing. My grandfather probably said a prayer, all kinds of religious things. As far as I can remember, I think I remember going to Gurdwaras when I was a kid back in Boston. There was such a small Sikh community that we would have services in rented halls and rented churches and things where,
that's cool.
There wasn't actually a set temple or gurdwara back in the early 80s. I know that sounds like ancient history for you guys. I mean, the 80s. Yeah. Whoa, yeah. I had really big hair and I was into glam rock.
So I have two questions with that. First is like,
are you the only one asking questions?
No, I'm gonna pass it around. We're cool. First one is, did you have like a wingman who was your buddy like throughout this time? Who you're like, we're gonna do this, and this is a triple threat trio, Rage Brigade. This is a great question.
You said two.
That's three. First one is, did you have like a friend who you were like growing up with, going through this process with? And then the second part would be, was there a moment when it went from your parents telling you to go to these things, you guys all went, to you saying, I want this for myself? And then was there also a moment where you were like, I don't want this anymore?
You took everyone else's questions.
No, there's plenty more.
You kind of did.
Did I have a wingman? No, actually, I think in my early years, I did not have a wingman. I probably didn't have close Sikh friends until late middle school, probably early high school. And none of those Sikh friends did I live near. There were people that I met at summer camps, which were really important in my life because there weren't a lot of Sikhs in the area where I lived. So we would go to the summer camp in upstate New York, and that's where I met my best Sikh friends. And some of those friends are still some of my best friends today. I've always kind of been into religion, and maybe even a little bit more into it than my parents. So yeah. I think that stems back to my relationship with my grandparents. For me, religion was about culture. Culture was about language. Language is about connecting to my grandparents, who I dearly loved. Mm-hmm. So it was all kind of mixed in together with those things.
Yeah. And then the last one, this is a two-part also. Was there ever a moment where you were like, I don't want this anymore, or like you were discriminated because of it, or?
Oh, yeah, discriminated. Heck yeah, man.
Because you go to public schools in Boston, or?
Yeah, public schools in the Boston area. I mean, Boston gets this rep as a super liberal, hyper, you know, university town, but man, some racist people in Boston.
Yeah.
So, did I ever say I didn't want it for myself? I mean, I think when you're a kid and you go through that, you're like, why are people being mean to me? And I do remember being like, I just want to be normal, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was able to, you know, later on in my later teens, kind of take that and say, you know what? I'm not going to go for normal. I'm going to go for something else. Hmm. And that's what I've been trying to figure out kind of ever since, what that something else is.
That's cool.
Yeah.
One of the questions we were talking about is how has your identity changed through the study of all your different religions? And have you considered, what was the other thing? Considered it like a melting pot at any point?
Well, did I consider melting all these religions together? And making a big,
like what kept your culture, like your identity?
What kept my identity? That's a good question. I guess I really vibe with where I'm from. I think there's a certain amount of pride that my parents instilled in me about being where I'm from. Now, to me, just having that pride and not having an openness about where you live, about where other people are from, or exploring other people's differences that they bring to the table would be hypocritical and ridiculous. So I don't think I blend a lot of things together necessarily, but I try to keep my cultural identity in relation to the other identities that I see around me. And there were definitely times in my life where I've tried on different identities. For example, I don't think any black or brown kid in America, this is a grand generalization, it's very hard to survive without something like hip hop culture or something in the 80s and 90s. Do you want to clap again, Ubby?
Yeah.
You know, do you know Ubby's a crazy MC?
Mm-mm.
Like, he is sick. Like, he, not sick, like, he's actually an atheist, but he is a really good musician.
That's cool.
So is Pat.
Bring it to class.
I think the next podcast is gonna be these guys.
That'd be cool.
But for example, I tried that on. You know, like my one of my first CDs that I bought was Ice Cube's Lethal Injection, which I would not want my child listening to. And I sort of bought it without my parents' permission. But man, I was like, yeah, I was just so angry and so that music gave me a way to kind of rage against the machine or whatever you want to call it. Fight the man.
Right.
In your married life, what...
Oh, God. Are you going to play married?
Yeah, in your married life, what role does religion play?
Oh.
He was waiting for a different question.
Yeah. and how you raise your son.
Yeah, and how do you raise
your son? It definitely plays a role in how Rachna, my wife, and I raise our son, Nother. Again, language, culture, and religion for us all go together. We love where we live. We live in Southern California. We live in the Valley in Los Angeles. It's one of the most diverse places on Earth. It's awesome. We don't want him to interact with that diversity with no background. We want him to be rooted in his ethnicity, in our religious background, in our religious identity, and then engage with that pluralism, multiculturalism from that perspective so that he has an angle on it. We're not trying to tell him that his religion is the only way or his religion is the best way, but his religion has been our ancestors' way. And what he wants to do with that is up to him. We're just trying to equip him with a sense of place and a sense of rootedness. He's 1 and 3 months, so right now all he cares about are like garbage trucks and, you know, petting dogs. So we haven't really gotten any deep discussions yet, but I'll let you know when
we do.
How would you feel if he like converted to a different religion?
Oh man, if he converted to a different religion?
Would you kick him out?
No. I don't think I'd kick him out. I think there's a couple things that would make me kinda weirded out. If he got really kind of extremist within our religion, like I'd be kind of
like the apostle.
If he had Holy Ghost power from the Sikh perspective, I think that might freak me out a little. And I think if he rejected our cultural identity, it would definitely be something that I would have to deal with and think about. But ultimately, Yeah, I mean, I'd love that kid. I mean,
yeah, geez. Of course.
Yeah, yeah. But would it be a process for me to accept that? Would it be a learning process that I'd have to go through and put a lot of psychic energy into? Definitely. But I'm not trying to raise him with like a make or break thing, like it's my way or the highway, right, and then you have to choose this or choose something else. That's not how I'm raising him. We kind of want him to, you know, embrace diversity and embrace pluralism. So if in that embracing he starts embracing something and he's kind of into it, I would be all cool with him exploring. That's great, you know. But if he came home one day and was like, you know, Dad, you're wrong. You've raised me wrong. You know, that would hurt.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, we're all in college, as you know. And so what was your college experience with like your faith, your identity, and going through it? As I mean, I'm sure like in high school we all want to be the same, in college
we
all want to be different,
right.
And now it's like, what was that experience for you?
Where'd you go?
What was your faith? What was all that?
I actually skipped college.
Interesting.
I'm just kidding. I went to the University of Rochester. Go Yellow Jackets!
Yay.
No Yellow Jackets fans over here? All right. It's okay. We're D3. We're cool with that. University of Rochester in upstate New York. College at U of R was, man, it was a really liberating experience. It was kind of a coming out project for me. You know, I came out. I mean, I think everyone knew I was a Sikh, but I sort of came out as a Sikh. I was able to kind of own it, you know. I was able to own my ethnicity, my religion. Not only did I want to be different, like you said, and not the same as everybody, I was valued for being different. I remember one of my professors, I actually audited his class 3 times before I actually took it. That's how much I sort of love this guy. He came up to me in the first days of class and was like, Sardar G, which is a way of saying, you know, was a way of identifying someone as a Sikh. And he had spent time in India. He taught Indian religions. He said, Sardar G, do you know that your religion's poetry is some of the most beautiful poetry in the world? And then he like went off and did something else. And I was just like, wow, you know, that's so cool. You know, I was all impressed by that, impressed by the fact that someone else valued that. And it wasn't just that, you know, it was the deans, it was my other professors, it was fellow students. They really valued me for who I was as someone of difference. Mm-hmm. And that was just awesome. That was just awesome.
Have you ever had, like, we read about a couple weeks ago, it was spiritual experiences, and like some of them were just general experiences, and they talked about the feelings, like the sunshine felt brighter, they could see more, whatever it was. Have you ever had those?
Not in the powerful way that these people are talking about, but I will tell you about a couple things that are personal. Shh, don't tell anybody I said this, all right? Good thing we're not recording this. Let's see. Back to the point about, you know, how it was college for me as a religious person. I took an oath and a baptism in college to a sort of a more hardcore identity within the Sikh culture. I took that baptism in Punjab, in India, at this place called Anandpur, which is where that identity was rooted in the early 1700s and the late 1600s. So I went back to the place, and I went through this sort of vow-taking process, and I was baptized at the end of my freshman year in that sort of religious order called the Singhs or the Khalsa. Now, after I did that, I tried really hard to sort of live up to the hardcore Sikh identity, and I was really supported by the university. I started wearing a sword to campus, and I told my dean of students that I was doing that, and he wrote a letter to security and that, look, this guy's, you know, he's converted to this religion, and you know, he's doing this stuff, and you know, basically, like, this guy's cool with me. Don't bug him. And so I would go to, like, don't tell anybody this either, but security would like let me into parties and stuff without the metal detector, because they'd be like, oh no, that's my man, he's cool. You know? So like I got a lot of support from the larger community around that, but I wasn't able to find a sub-community within the Sikh community that I was able to say, like, I want to latch on to these people, mm-hmm. and these people are cool, and I want to do this. So I sort of had a kind of falling out with that level of religiosity in my life. And that was, I think, a kind of a long-term set of religious experiences for me. Now, in terms of the kind of religious experience that you're talking about, like a conversion or seeing the light or...
Sure, yeah.
No, I haven't had that kind of thing. But I actually am reading a book right now that just came out from, I think, Simon and Schuster, about this neurosurgeon who developed bacterial meningitis and had, I mean, just was in a coma for 7 or 10 days and had this near-death experience. That book has been powerful for me right now, and I'm kind of reading it. And what do you do? Like, this guy, you know, says he has this experience. He seems legitimate. It's put out by his major press. And it's a really rich, thick experience. I don't know. I'm kind of having a religious experience by reading about his religious experience.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess the next question would be, like, why global religions? Why do what you're doing? Is it out of fulfillment? Is it because...
Honestly, it's for the dental insurance, dude. Mm. Dental insurance.
Yeah. Nice.
It's hard to come by.
And with that also, like, I'm sure just as it was, your religion was passed on to you, do you pass it on to other guys? Do you, like, mentor young guys? Or is it through this being a teacher, you talk to other students? Or?
So the first question, why global religions? I was hired at Cal Lutheran to teach Asian religions and global religions. And I was trained to teach the Sikh tradition and to research the Sikh tradition, but I knew that I probably wasn't going to get a job teaching the Sikh tradition, so I developed like a broad range of skills in grad school teaching other things, especially through TAing, being a teaching assistant. Now, that said, you can't ever be an expert on global religions, so what I'm doing in this class is every year I tweak it, I tinker with it, I try to learn as much as possible. Every time I teach, I learn a heck of a lot. So this class is one of the hardest classes that I teach. It's a pain in the butt because it's so broad, but it's definitely one of the most fun classes that I teach. I love it. I love interacting with people on these questions. No, I don't really have a mentoring role, I don't think, in terms of religiously. I do, you know, if anyone seeks out my opinion, which they typically don't, no one really cares. I'm always ready to give it, but I don't take a mentoring role religiously with people. That's, you know, I feel like everyone's like on their own path, mm-hmm. and if anyone ever needs an expert, my fees are pretty reasonable, but I don't go out seeking those experiences. Islan hasn't asked a question.
No, I was back to your son. Do you ever want to take him back to India?
I do. I do want to take him back to India. I want to take him a lot of places, but definitely India. I definitely want to show him, you know, where his ancestors were from, in Punjab. And I also definitely want to show him other parts of India. I want to experience that with him. And India is not the place that it was when I was going back as a kid. So if I'm going to try to go there with some nostalgic tip or some kind of quest for, you know, the roots of the family, I'm not really going to find it. He's not really going to find it. It's such a changed place in the last 20 years, not to mention the last 50 years. Forget about the last 100 years. So if we go, we'll probably be exploring how things are changing as much as sort of, well, this is where we were from, kind of thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How'd you end up in Southern California?
How did I end up in Southern California? I ended up at University of California, Santa Barbara, in the religious studies program there. Go Gauchos. No Gauchos fans. No, okay.
Regals and Kingsmen.
Regals and Kingsmen are pretty cool. But they're not Gauchos. I ended up at UCSB studying religious studies under Gurinder Singh Mann. UCSB is one of the has one of the best religious studies programs in the country. And then at the time, the UCSB chair in religious studies was one of the only choices, and ultimately ended up being the best choice for me anyways because of my interests in Sikh history and Sikh texts. And so that's how I got out to Southern California. And then, I don't know, I guess the name recognition of UCSB helped land me a job at Cal Lutheran.
At what point in this process did you meet your wife? And tell us about that. Does she have her own faith? Is it, like, important to you that she was of the same tradition? Or?
It was important to me. It was important to me after a certain point in my life. Yeah, we're both sick. She has a very kind of different history. Her parents immigrated to the Middle East in Kuwait. She was born in Kuwait, then moved to New York, then moved to Montreal. So she's kind of got even more global background than I do. And I met her, of all places, in New Jersey.
Interesting.
Yeah. Jersey. By interesting, you mean...
Yeah. This is cool.
I don't know. Nothing cool. I don't know. Sorry, New Jersey people, but I'm... Nothing cool. New Jersey's great in its own special way. Let's put it that way. I met her at her own brother's wedding in New Jersey. She stalked me at the wedding.
Nice.
Apparently, she has a different take on it. But,
awkward.
We did kind of vibe on this issue of being kind of young professionalizing young people who are both Sikhs with Punjabi background from these parents who had migrated, and so that definitely played a role in our coming together.
How old were you at that time?
Oh man, how old was I? Probably like 25. Yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah. All right, so I guess to wrap up, putting you on the spot.
Like,
what about some?
What, you got somewhere to go? I'm getting comfortable here.
What about some?
Was it lunchtime or something?
Yes. Snack time. Jersey Mike's. What are some words of wisdom for our own walks in our process of discovering and figuring ourselves out?
Figuring yourselves out?
Maybe that's not the right
identity.
Answer.
Words
of wisdom for us. I don't think we'll figure ourselves out. Just hit us up with something you got.
Takeaway.
Parting words of wisdom.
Give us the answer.
Tell us the answer to life.
Okay. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to your turbans because I'm going to blow your mind. Ready?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All
that filled up.
Don't just do things right. Make sure to do the right things.
Mm.
All right? First one's free. And then I start free. All
right, well, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.
I'm going to put this up.
Stay tuned.
I'm going to put this up on the podcast. I'll email it to you all.
Yes, okay. Please.
So I'll put it up.
Okay.
Yes, people. Please. You know.
People need to know.
Yeah, and I'm going to tweet this at Rahul Deep Gill on Twitter.
We'll hashtag it.
Is it about the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh.
How do you keep your own biases from, you teach other religions? So, how do you keep that?
Oh, how do I keep my own biases out of it?
Yeah.
I don't. I don't pretend that I don't have biases when I study other religions. I try to be aware of the ones that I have. I try to keep them quiet when they need to be quiet, and I try to voice them when they need to be voiced, when I feel like I'm in a safe place, and I try to be honest about that. Was that a good answer? Thanks, Erica. Any other questions? All right.
You answered it.
I answered it. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.